Hi, I'm Allison.
And I'm Larissa. We're two working moms
and real-life friends
on the journey to improving our family's health.
We're digging through the facts and fads around living a cleaner, greener lifestyle.
With plenty of cocktails.
Whether you've taken the plunge like Larissa
or just a little crunchy curious like Allison, this podcast's for you.
Welcome to the Crunchy Cocktail Hour.
Happy Friday, guys, and Happy New Year. This is Larissa, and as always, I'm here with Allison.
Hi, everyone.
So, the New Year's upon us, and many of us have set resolutions related to fitness and health for the New Year, so I think it's a great time to talk about detox and how that can create kind of a clean slate for your body and get it operating as efficiently as possible. So we want to talk about why our bodies need a detox, what a detox even means, really, and some practical ways that we could do that. Before we delve officially into the topic today, I wanted to tell you guys about Mighty Fix. So I get a ton of questions from people about, you know, them wanting to create a cleaner, greener home, but not really knowing where to start. And I always recommend Mighty Fix. So it's a $10 a month subscription program. And what Mighty Fix will do is send you something worth $10 or more. It's usually a single item. And, you know, it'll be anything from, like, I've gotten dryer balls in the past. This month I got a, you know, full jar of Soapwalla natural deodorant. So it'll be anything like something for your, it's a lot of times something for your kitchen, but it could just be in general, like household things. But it gives you an opportunity to bring something healthier into the home and see what you can kind of toss and get rid of as a substitute. So I want to give you guys the opportunity to try out Mighty Fix for $3 for your first month. And you can do that by either getting the dryer balls or getting beeswax wraps, which are a great alternative to aluminum foil. So beeswax wraps kind of mold around your plate, your Tupperware, whatever it may be, with just the heat from your hands. And they're reusable probably for like at least a year. You can reuse the same piece of wrap. So you can get either of those for $3 for your first month, and there's no obligation to continue with the program if it's not for you. But if you're interested in that, check out crunchycocktailhour.com and look for this episode on detox, and you'll find all the links there as well as the coupon codes to give it a shot. Of course, we've got a cocktail. And what are we drinking today, Allison?
So today I did a as close to a detox as I could get while making a cocktail. It is a turmeric ginger margarita. So it's a little bit on the spicy side. And, you know, it has some ingredients that tend to be a bit detoxifying, like a turmeric, a ginger, lime,
you have me a margarita.
And mint. And then, of course, you know, adding in the tequila. It's all about balance.
Perfect.
All about balance. But it's a delicious one. So cheers to detox.
Cheers. All right. So let's get into today's topic. And let's talk about what exactly is detox and what are the benefits. So while conventional medicine doesn't really talk about this, we're all constantly exposed to outside toxins in our environment. So in our food, in the air we breathe, in the products we use. And those toxins are the things that contribute to, you know, your general fatigue, hormone imbalances, infertility, obesity, you know, even cancer. And, you know, making sure that we kind of purge that from our bodies as much as possible is, I think, essential. And you kind of brought up at the top of the episode, too, there's just times in our lives where we overindulge and we eat foods that we really aren't even sometimes used to on a daily basis. And so we just don't feel good and we kind of want to purge.
And some of it is that stress can help toxins build up, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So especially around the holidays, we've got that added stress, the bad food, more drinking.
Absolutely.
It's all of it sort of just compounding.
Absolutely. So, you know, what does that mean to detox, right? So I think a lot of what the kind of mainstream thought is, it's around like, you know, a detox tea or a detox drink or doing something for some short amount of time. But, you know, I want to bring us back to the fact that our bodies naturally detox. So it's part of our normal bodily function to take out what's not supposed to be there. So we've got your kidneys flushing out waste through urine. We have your liver, you know, cleaning, and we've got your lungs filtering out, you know, things that your lungs don't want in their mold and allergens. We've got the colon. All of those organs are there to kind of move the toxins out of your body. And when I think about an intentional detox on our part, it's more about like, what can I do to assist my organs in what they are already doing and just help them, you know, either be more efficient or just let them kind of take a load off a little bit.
Give them a little bit of a break.
Give them a little break. So basically, like I was just saying, like adding that intentional detox is just like letting them have a little break. And I think, you know, a lot of times I think when we research detox, we're probably researching the wrong things because detox, so your natural bodily function detox, is essentially a process of metabolism. You're metabolizing whatever's coming in the same way as your food. You're metabolizing the toxins and they're coming out some way through process of your organs.
Yeah.
And so a lot of times people look for that detox in order to for weight loss purposes. It really shouldn't be about that. It should just be about having your body in an optimal state. But it does give you that weight loss bonus because when your organs are functioning more efficiently and they're functioning better, there are studies that actually show that you are burning more calories when you're working out and when you're sleeping. And all the times that you're supposed to be burning calories, you're doing it. You're burning more.
Your body's just doing a better job of what it's doing already.
Yeah. But there is a healthy way to do it and there's not a healthy way to do it. And I think that's kind of what we want to get into today.
Well, I guess my question would be, how would I know if I needed to detox?
So I think the really simple answer is you do. You always do.
Just constantly.
Yeah, you always do because, again, we're constantly in our environment and there's constantly toxins all around us. And the Environmental Working Group, if you're familiar with that, sometimes known as EWG, I saw a study that they said that the average newborn is born with 287 known toxins in their umbilical cord.
Just a brand new baby.
Just a brand new baby. And it's, you know, everything that the mother's been exposed to in her environment. So if you just think about that, of course we need to detox. We need to detox all the time. And again, that's why your body's doing it for you all the time. But, you know, from some of the studies that I've read and the recommendations I've seen, you know, I would say, and, you know, we'll talk about this a little bit more about how you actually detox, but the recommendation would probably be to do this 2 to 4 times a year. If you can get yourself, you know, really regimented about this, maybe you can do it once per season.
Yeah.
Or
and if you're doing a spring cleaning or a winter cleaning,
exactly.
Do a body cleaning.
Yeah, I like it. And, you know, but you kind of do it when you can, right? Yeah. When you can put some effort into it. And I think that there's also this idea of, you know, you might be completely healthy and functioning and all of that, and just do this in order to kind of maintain optimal health. And then there's some times where you feel kind of bogged down and mm-hmm. you don't feel well. And whether that presents itself in like bloating or weight gain or fatigue or whatever it is, like that might
low energy.
Yeah,
it's like, always that low energy that sort of ticks me off that something's not working well.
Yeah, and that might be presence of a toxic overload, right? And that might be just the moment that you need to kind of go through some of what we're going to talk about. But
so what are some of the reasons that you might want to detox? So I understand that it gets rid of things in your body, right? And it can help your natural bodily functions function better.
Right.
What else would it do?
So in general, I think it reduces inflammation in your body. You know, we've talked about like when I went vegan, right? And I was just like really, really intentional about the things that I ate. I noticed a decrease in inflammation. Like some of my aches and pains have gone away. You know, it reduces the toxins in your body and it helps kind of cleanse your liver. I don't think we're doing ourselves any service right now drinking cocktails, but
counterbalancing.
We mentioned the added bonus of weight loss, right? Because when you're functioning, your organs are functioning at their tip top shape. You just in general burn more calories through your normal bodily process. Energy is a big one. Like you mentioned, you'll see clearer skin. That's a really big one people talk about. But I think for me, one of the biggest things is it resets your food choices and helps you curb addictions, right? So, you know, like I know that like when I get into the holidays and I get into the habit of like picking at things, I get like a sweet tooth. And it's so hard to break that. But if you're intentionally making different food choices because you're going through a little bit of a detox plan, you may just as a product of that kind of curb some of the addictions that you've created, whether it's to sugar or salt or whatever it may be.
For me, it's always sugar right after the holidays. Like you're saying, because you have dessert with every meal.
Yes.
And there's always candy around. And then you're just like, well, it's 7 o'clock. This is when I have my snack.
I just love picking at stuff.
I just like sweets.
Yeah.
Well, it makes sense. I wonder if it would work for other types of addictions. Like if somebody had an addiction to smoking or something, if like just an intentional detox might even be helpful.
I'm sure.
We should look into that.
We should.
Be curious.
So I think the really big thing, and we've talked about, you know, why it's so great, but like, how do you actually detox? Because I said at the beginning of the episode, I don't think it's through drinking nothing but teas or the lemon cayenne peppers.
And that's the one I hear about the most.
Yeah. And I'm sure that there is some benefit to doing something like that, but let me step back. There are great outcomes of having lemon in your diet, cayenne in your diet, you know, all like the maple syrup, whatever's in there, like all of that has great benefits to you. But I think what happens, and this is just my take on it, is because you're only drinking that, you're not eating the crap that you normally eat.
Yeah, so it's almost having the benefit of cleaning up your diet.
Yeah, so it's cleaning up your diet. It's putting a little bit of kind of good ingredients into your system. But the reality is, like, you can't subsist on that. And I feel like when you have had nothing but that for days, the second you get off of it, you want to binge. Because you're hungry.
Yeah.
I never really recommend that type of stuff.
Nothing but liquids can never be a good thing unless you have the stomach bug.
No. Like, I am someone who can't even, like replace a smoothie for lunch because I need to chew my lunch.
I'm the same way.
I need to chew my breakfast and I need to chew my lunch and I cannot just have a smoothie.
Funny thing, Kyle's that way but with soups.
He wants to chew his soup?
No, like he can't. Like he finds it too liquid to be a meal. So like if I just make like a soup for dinner, it wouldn't work for him.
Will he sit there and chew it?
I suppose so. I've never really watched him.
What if it's super hearty?
It's like a really hearty stew.
Yeah. I mean,
even then, he just does not,
bread
consider it.
Something. Yeah. He needs something to chew on. I get it.
So he would never be able to do one of those weird detoxes.
Well, he shouldn't anyway. So
if we can't do liquids, what can we do?
So there are lots of schools of thought on this, so I will just give you mine. I think that it's all about what food you put in your body, and it's about cleaning up your diet, and it's about eating to support your organs.
Okay.
So it's just whole-based foods, intentionally selected, and for me, it's less about the things that you should eat. I know that there's plenty of things that are great for detoxifying or are anti-inflammatory. A lot of like the fruits and vegetables out there have different properties that are amazing for you. But for me, it's more about the things that you shouldn't put in your body in that moment, the things that are really toxic to your system and the things that your organs are fighting to actually get out. So, you know, maybe we can talk through the stuff that I recommend cutting out.
Yeah.
So I think and I've kind of ordered them a little bit in the things that I think are, I want to say easier to cut out versus others, but you'll tell me if you agree. But I think just in general, all processed foods. Like, if it's in a box, you should think twice about having it. And that includes, like, packaged meats, like lunch meats. Like, I know you love a sandwich.
I love lunch meat. That's I think I've said this on a previous episode, but the hardest thing for me when I was pregnant. Not sushi, not alcohol. A good, thinly sliced sandwich.
I don't even like sandwiches. I just...
Every day. That's what I have.
You have a sandwich every day?
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
That's what I have for lunch every day.
but you can't have any on my detox plan.
I know, apparently not. But so, but processed food's one of those things that, like, in general in life, you should reduce. And so that's kind of the sense I'm getting, is it's things we probably should be more conscious of not eating.
Absolutely.
In a detox, like, make it that much more of a thing you do not do during this time period in order to make your body function better.
Right, because at the end of the day, the thing in the packaged food is going to have additives. It's going to have things that don't really belong in your body and don't nurture your body. And it goes back to, you know, the grocery store episode we did where, like, you want to stick to the perimeter as much as possible. Now, of course, like, you can venture into the middle because you want to grab rice or, you know, you want to grab those types of things. And that's fine. But it's just more about, like, when your meal's in the box, when your entire meal is the box.
Yeah.
That you want to stay away from. So that's one thing. I think the other one is, like, refined carbs. So things like sugar and white flour, things that are just white, right? Because they have probably gone through a processing and weren't white before.
To make them that way.
To make them white. So I think that's a big one. And, you know, sugar, we've talked about, can be so addicting. There's so many studies out there about what sugar does to your brain. It's, like, very similar to drug effects.
Mm-hmm. And then now it's been shown to maybe be the number one cause of some of these greater health issues. I can't remember the name of the documentary, but essentially saying that we said it was the fats at one point. We said it was processed foods at one point, but it's really that sugar that's causing all of this buildup in our bodies. It's just unhealthy.
Right. So, you know, and there's great ways to, I want to touch on this too when we talk about, I have a list of things that, like, you should put in your diet, and we can talk about, you know, some of the substitutes for some of these things. It doesn't mean you can't have sweetener in your life. It just, you don't want that white sugar.
And not artificial, because I'm pretty sure artificial sweeteners is also on your list.
Yes, artificial sweeteners is absolutely on my list. So the Splendas of the world, please cut them out. There are just study upon study now that artificial sweeteners, like, you know, you think you're chugging a Coke that's like a Coke Zero because you think it's good for you. You're putting Splenda in your tea because you think it's better for you than sugar. But there's so many studies now that talk about that it actually, it triggers your appetite and it makes you want to eat more. It not only triggers your appetite, but it triggers your want for carbs. And it's shown to have bad health effects. So
what about stevia?
So stevia is a good one. I will say that stevia, you want to read the box really well and make sure that you understand how it's processed, because again, like everything else, it's processed to get it to you in the form that you're getting it. So there's some good brands out there. I do have stevia in my house. I actually have liquid stevia as well that I'll put in my, you know, overnight oats and things like that. But I think for the most part, you're good there. Even if you're getting something that's more processed, I would say it's better for you than the Splenda or the regular white sugar. Right.
Two big ones that I use to replace sugar is maple syrup.
Wonderful. Love that's maple not syrup. Canadian at all.
Not at all. And just pure agave.
Yeah.
Because it's fantastic. It's not as sweet. I wouldn't say it has that just like potent sweetness that like a sugar or any of the artificial sweeteners are, but it's great in coffee.
Yeah, and honey is a big one for me. I love to have local honey on hand, and I'm someone who gets allergies, so like I love like having it in my diet all year round because I feel like it helps when that season comes around as well. So that's a good one too. So the other thing, and this kind of goes hand in hand too with the sweeteners and the packaged foods and all of that, is just foods with preservatives, foods with added colors, foods with natural flavors on the label. Yeah.
Air quotes.
Quote unquote natural flavors. There's nothing natural about it, and they don't have to tell you what's in it. But it's just, I think this goes back to this whole thing of like, I would want someone that's trying to do a detox, or not even trying to do a detox, but to clean up their diet, you should know exactly what you're putting into your body. And again, if your meal is in a box, I guarantee you can't pronounce some of the ingredients. And if you can't pronounce it, it's not a food. It's something man-made in a process. It's not what you want to be eating. So, you know, if it's anything, again, canned and boxed and things like that, it's likely to contain preservatives. So again, try to stick to that outside you of the grocery store.
The produce, the good meats.
Absolutely. And the other one too is kind of unhealthy oil. So you may be cooking up all your healthy whole foods, but you want to make sure that you're using avocado oil, coconut oil, olive oil, those types of oils, and staying away from things like canola oil or, you know, shortening, and or especially the butters that aren't butters, right? Like, I can't believe it's not butter. Like, what is it?
Like, to be fair, I had to use a lot of butter substitutes in my non-dairy days, so maybe I'll have you take a look at those labels.
Yeah, we should take a look.
But a question on the oils.
Yeah.
So I tend to use canola for things that I don't want the oil to have a flavor. So in pancakes, for example, I'll use canola.
Yep.
What else could I use that would be flavorless?
I'm a really big fan of avocado oil. I also think that, and it might be my palate, but I also tend to think that refined coconut oil, I cook a lot with that. That doesn't really have a flavor to me. Whereas like pure coconut oil does.
Yes.
But I actually use refined coconut oil when I cook because it has a higher smoking point.
Okay.
And just like a little tidbit on the oil too, I've been doing a bunch of research on, like, I've always cooked with olive oil.
Mm-hmm.
But recently I'm starting to realize that olive oil actually doesn't have as high of a smoke point as avocado oil, for example, or coconut oil.
So what would that mean?
So it burns off your pan, and like, you know, we are pretty diligent about using kind of safe pans in our home, but especially if you are using a lot of those like nonstick coated pans, you're burning the oil in the pan, that's burning off, and it's starting to kind of like bring up all the stuff out of your pan. So you get stuff like caked on the pan, you start to like burn off the coatings on the pan into your food. So just, it's actually like a negative health effect, even though you're using a healthy oil.
I did not realize that.
So I would just say, you know, as kind of like, I know this is a little bit sideways with the oil, but make sure that you're using an oil that's A, healthy, but also B, has a smoking point for what you're using it for.
Okay.
And I've actually started to try to cook more with coconut oil and avocado oil because they do have high smoking points, and using olive oil more in the raw, so like on salads and things like that.
And if you get a good olive oil,
it's so good. Oh, it's, or like an infused oil, it's fantastic.
And you can make your own infused oils, which are really nice.
Oh,
yeah.
Maybe, I've never done
maybe
it.
Maybe a recipe coming your way.
I've never done it.
It's what else should we avoid?
So this is where my list starts to go. Like, I think this part's a little harder. So like alcohol.
Oh no.
Just like not even gonna think
cheers.
About it.
Cheers.
Cheers. You know, just we don't practice what we preach at all right now.
No, not in that one.
But we're most of them. We're not detoxing in this moment. It's okay.
It's true. Yeah.
Coming
at you before the holidays.
Alcohol, of course. Like, give your liver a break. Like, try to, you know, water, lemon water, tea.
Boring.
Not alcohol, but, you know, do what you can. This is why I said this part of the list is harder. For some, I think the next one, red meat, could be difficult. But, you know, there's no fiber. Your body works really hard to process red meat. So again, you're trying to give your organs a break. Mm-hmm. So you want to be feeding yourself things that are not making your body work extra hard.
Interestingly, we don't eat much red meat at all. Actually,
really?
The only red meat that we would have a hard time cutting out is lamb, which I feel like a lot of people don't eat lamb.
I can probably like count on one hand, like in an average year, how much I eat lamb.
We eat lamb. We had lamb last night.
How do you eat lamb? Like, in a chop or like?
Well, we're big on Indian cooking.
Okay.
So I'll do a lot of lamb curries.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, lamb is just.
And
so
that'll be
flavorful.
What? Like a ground kind of lamb?
Not ground. It'll be like lamb loin.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yummy. And then I love lamb chops. I love lamb.
I do love lamb chops. So. I mean, they're so adorable and delicious. And.
Adorable? Can you call it adorable
well,
and then still
like
eat
little,
it?
You know, like the little.
Yeah, because
like
it
a lollipop chop.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
Which is so horrible to think about. But all right, but that's the only red meat that we really eat.
Okay. Well, there
so
you go.
So that'd be easy to cut out.
So the other one is avoiding wheat and gluten, which I think is really hard.
That's
like,
hard.
You know, pastas and things like that. Like, we love those. But gluten, I think we know by now there's so many gluten intolerances. And a lot of it isn't really the gluten itself. It's the way that wheat is processed in the United States. And people have a hard time with it in their digestive system. And so, again, it's one of those things of there's not like a huge benefit to you. And your body's working really hard. Mm-hmm. So that would be one that I would stay away from.
Okay.
And before I kind of close out the list, I've got one more thing on my list. But before I close out the list, like, I would say, you know, do this for as long as you can. Again, you're not cutting anything out, really. You're not saying, like, I can't have this food or that food. You're just saying it should be a real food, a real whole food. But try to do it as long as you can, right? Like, I would say if you can do it for 2 weeks, that would be fantastic, because I kind of tend to think 3 weeks is when you make a habit and you start to kind of, like, get used to it. But you know, you kind of do it for as long as you can. It's, again, it's not the all liquid anything where, like, after 3 days you feel like you're going to lose your mind. You should still be eating well. You should still be eating whole foods. You shouldn't be hungry.
Yeah, you should have enough calories.
Absolutely.
You just feel a bit better.
And I also think that that 2 week mark is also when you kind of start to feel a difference in your body. And sometimes that's enough motivation to keep you going and to say, like, I'm not going to start eating that box food again because I feel awesome right now.
And it's easy to make replacements that are just as flavorful.
Totally. Totally. And it's funny, like, I don't know if I've mentioned this on a previous episode, but, you know, we try to eat a pretty clean diet. I'm not perfect by any means, and there's sometimes I crave something really crappy for me. But it's terrible because I almost always have instant regret because my body's not used to processing, like, crappy food anymore. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, sometimes it takes that too to be like, oh, that's why I eat like that, because I don't want to feel like this.
Yes. It's not worth it.
Yeah, exactly. And so the last thing on my list that I wanted to mention is dairy. So, you know, I think, again, no fiber, similar to the red meat. And most people have at least a mild sensitivity to dairy. If you ask me, we're not really supposed to, like, we're not meant to eat dairy. We're like humans are the only ones out there that eat animal byproducts in this way. And
you think about it, we're the only mammal that drinks milk past infancy.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah. And, like, cow's milk is for baby cows. And, like, I love cheese. We've said that, I think, many a times, how much we love cheese, but I don't know. This would definitely be one where I would say to eliminate if you can. But be forewarned that, you know, dairy is one of those things. And I think it's because we're really not supposed to have it. And because most people have at least a mild sensitivity, cutting it out for any amount of time might make you not be able to go back.
Yeah.
I know that that was something I cut out when we went vegan. And you know, if I accidentally get it in something or I intentionally eat it, my stomach lets me know it is not happy.
Well, I have a bit of an update because, as you know, a big worry for me was not being able to eat dairy after I was done nursing. Well, I am in the process of weaning. I have already said goodbye to my pump.
Whoa.
That's huge.
Because that is a big one.
It's huge. And so I'm going to be trying it here soon. So I will see. I'm hoping I don't have an intolerance, but
just like baby steps.
Baby steps. It'll be baby steps for
just
sure.
Do baby steps.
But also, if you are interested in some dairy-free recipes that actually all of these things are cut out of, we do have on our Pinterest a whole series of recipes.
So awesome.
You can check them out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's great.
So this is a whole lot of stuff we're saying to avoid.
Yes.
So what should we add?
So, big things to focus on is, like, drinking more water. So, I'm a big fan of starting your day with lemon water. I have, like, fallen off that bandwagon and want to get back on. I can link my blog post all about it. But, you know, it aids in immunity and digestion and your mood. It has a ton of health benefits. So I really, really recommend that. You want to eat fresh fruits and vegetables, so it goes back to the whole foods. Organic if possible. If not, just make them fresh fruits and vegetables. You definitely want to increase your fiber intake so you can kind of flush your system out as much as you can. And find good sources of protein. Just as I'm saying, avoid the red meats of the world. That doesn't mean you can't have great cuts of white meats like chicken and fish. So, you know, and we've talked in the past about like fishery policies. If you're concerned about the type of fish you're ingesting, definitely check out our grocery hacks episode. And you can learn about kind of how to make sure that what you're putting in your body from a fish perspective is healthy for you. We talked about like cutting out pasta, right? Because essentially wheat and gluten. I have found so many awesome alternatives now in the health aisle, like pastas made out of lentils or just like spinach or veggies or whatever that are gluten-free, and they taste really good.
Some people don't love the consistency. They can be slightly grittier than your average pasta, and they don't get they're a little bit more al dente, I think we were saying, but I think they're really great. And if you get a good sauce with them, I think they're fabulous.
I think it's all about the sauce. Yeah. And they're actually super kid friendly because they're usually like green or like I think the lentil one we got the other day was red. And so it's kind of like a fun meal for the kids and they're into it. We did buy like a, I can't remember if it was a black pasta or a black rice one day. And the kids were like, "What is this? I'm not eating this. This was black."
Was it squid ink?
I'm not sure what it was.
Squid ink pasta that's black. That's black. Squid ink pasta that's black.
I don't know what it was, but, you know, the greens and the reds of the vegetables were all great, but, like, you know.
Couldn't get on board.
They were, I can. It tasted just like rice. It tasted just the same, but the kids were not, they were not having it.
That's too funny.
And then the dairy that we just touched on, right? Like, there's tons of alternatives. We have soy creamer in my house. We have almond milk. The kids are so on almond dark chocolate milk. They're like obsessed with it. I know you were a big fan of flax milk.
Yep. We do flax, rice, and then there's pea protein milk.
Oh, okay.
I've never had that. It's pretty good. So for me, there's a difference between like the milk you drink versus the milk you like put in cereals or bake with.
Okay.
And some of them will have different flavors, but you can try different things out. The flax really worked for us, but
we did try to. You and I tried to froth the flax milk one day, didn't we?
Oh, that does not work.
That didn't work.
No, it does not froth.
But I'm curious. We actually just got a new, like a new coffee system or whatever that I'm obsessed with, and it has a frother. So I'm curious to try like the almond milk in it.
Almond does froth.
Oh, almond does froth. Okay.
So I know almond froths, soy froths, but flax does not. It's so liquid. It's the same as rice milk. Rice milk probably wouldn't froth.
Yeah, it's pretty liquidy. So you know, those are kind of the things that I would say add to the diet. Those are the things that I would say try to stay away from your diet. But for the most part, you're not really hearing me say like eat this exact food or that food. It's
exclusively.
Yeah. It's just like at the end of the day. The main thing I recommend is eat things that aren't hard for you to process, make sure you've got enough fiber in your diet, and just know exactly what you're eating.
Mm-hmm. And that being said, there are a couple of ingredients that people say have detoxifying qualities. For sure. So you could always think to add them in or, you know, make a tea for yourself with some of these things. But as a part of a balanced diet, not a tea that you drink on its own. So some of those things are turmeric, like I was saying, what we've included in our cocktail. It's just said to improve circulation. There's ginger, dandelion, apple cider vinegar, which has like a whole host of just benefits. And then there's just a lot of fruits that have detoxifying qualities, like lime, lemon, strawberries, and grapefruit as well, but you just have to make sure that you're not on any kind of cholesterol medications because grapefruit actually can cause some imbalances there.
Interesting. Oh, that's interesting. So I didn't know that.
It's actually usually on low or cholesterol medication to say that you can't have grapefruit, which you'd never assume that grapefruit would impact medication.
No, and I love grapefruit.
I do too.
Can I tell you a sideline grapefruit story?
Absolutely.
We've talked before about how my mom took extra good care of me when I was younger and like to the point of handicap that I couldn't do things. So my mom super spoiled me in the way that she would serve me grapefruit. She would like take out the fruit from its skin and like in the individual pieces, like pull them apart from the outside skin.
Okay.
And just, I would just have nothing but grapefruit. I didn't have to do any work.
But like, how is that different than peeling an orange?
Well, the orange still has skin on it. Like, I'm not talking the outside skin. I'm talking the individual wedges, like opening them up and taking the meat of the fruit out and putting all of that in a bowl.
What?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
It's so good that
Your
way.
Your mom is delightful, but boy, oh, boy, did she spoil the hell out of you. Explains so much.
I know. I have major only child syndrome. Big time. So aside from food, and I won't like dive too much into this because I do want to get into more detail when we do kind of like a beauty home remedies mm-hmm. episode. But, you know, while you're in this kind of process of detox, should you choose to do it, there are some kind of like non-food things that you can do as well. You know, one is sleep. Sleep is a really big one.
I love sleep.
she just clapped in front of me silently. So, you know, we've talked about
this is a good check-in point. How are you doing in your sleep?
I went to bed last night. What I feel like was early for me because I got up to work out this morning.
Okay. Like, hold on. You got up to work out and you went to bed early.
I went to bed at 11:30. Is that early?
But oh my God, no, that's late.
But like usually it's like 1.
How do you function normally?
I'm kind of asleep right now.
Yeah, I thought so. Well, we're recording in the evening and we are nearing 8:43 p.m.
Allison is a good half hour past her bedtime.
I have bags under my eyes at this point.
Yeah. Well,
I'm going to be a mess.
Get over it. Get over it.
But sleep definitely has... Yes. Major detoxifying
properties.
Thank you.
And definitely check out the sleep episode if you haven't, as we definitely delve into that a lot more. The other one I want to talk about is dry brushing. Is this something that you've heard about?
No, I've never heard of dry brushing.
So this is kind of like a, it's like a coarser brush. It's not like a loofah or anything. Like it actually has bristles. You use it dry on your body. You kind of work your way from like your toes up your body in a circular motion, and it helps like stimulate your lymphatic system, which helps in your lymphatic system helps eliminate like the waste that your cells produce.
Okay.
In your body. So
does it feel good?
Yeah, like it doesn't hurt or anything. It's almost like a more deeper exfoliation.
Okay.
But so, you know, it has good benefit for you internally, which like can help increase your blood flow and all of that and your circulation. But on the outside, you're exfoliating. So you get off some of that dead skin. So that's a great one to kind of like add to the routine if you're in the detox period.
And is it like a specific brush?
Yeah, there's like a specific kind of bristle. Yeah, I could link it as well so you can see, but I'll show you next time you're over. We have a couple at home. And then another one is a detox bath, and this one's kind of for me, but you know, I think we've all heard about kind of like an Epsom salt and an essential mm-hmm. oil bath. So I'm not sure this really like detoxifies you. Like if you've ever actually read the bag of Epsom salt, it literally tells you to like use the whole bag to detoxify your body. Like I just don't really know if it detoxifies you. There's a lot of what I would say untruth out there about like that you part of releasing toxins is like through your sweat, through your skin.
Okay.
I don't think you sweat out toxins. Not at least not from my research. So I'm not sure that you're really detoxifying, but I do think that from some of the research I've done that you can boost your magnesium levels in the body, which is like good for your immune system and your nerves and your muscles and all of that. So it's good for that. And the essential oil and just the bath itself is relaxing and kind of like good for your overall well-being. So I don't think that there's any harm to it, but just this idea of like, I'm going to sweat out all my toxins in this bath with the salt or whatever. I'm not sure that that's really a thing.
But hey, another excuse to have a bath. I'm into it. I do love a good bath.
Yeah. So I would say, you know, if you have just gotten back from your holiday trip, if your relatives have just left, it's the new year, you are kind of feeling run down by all the snacking and all the parties and all the drinks and everything else, this is a great time to kind of get into that little bit of a detox period.
And start 2018 fresh.
Exactly. Exactly. It can only, you know, help aid in some of the New Year's resolutions that you've set, if you've set them. And any little bit of this will be beneficial to your system. Again, you know, your body has its natural way of detoxifying you and pushing the toxins out of your body through the many organs, but it's never a bad thing to give those organs a little bit of a break, or maybe not a break, boost. But just like a mm-hmm. helping hand.
Excellent. Well, I know that I'm going to feel better after my detox or this cocktail. So if you want a chance to check it out, head over to silverlinedwine.com, where I always share the recipes for these cocktails, and you can check out this, which is our ginger turmeric margarita. As always, we've mentioned a couple of things throughout this episode that we'll put on the show notes on crunchycocktailhour.com. And we would love it if you give us a follow on social media. We are the Crunchy Cocktail Hour, and we are on Instagram, Pinterest, Facebook, all of the social media. And if you like what you hear, we would absolutely love it if you give us a subscribe and leave us a review. Reviews are super helpful for us to know what you like to hear, and we are always looking for ideas. So if there's something you're interested in hearing, let us know.
Yeah, I second that last piece, especially is I think one of our favorite things is when people reach out to us and either, you know, tell us something that they've done that we've suggested or suggest something new for us to try. I think that's one of our favorite things is just interacting with all of you. So reach out in whatever way you'd like.
Absolutely.
Happy Friday, everybody. Happy New Year. And we'll see you next week.
See you next week. Bye.